Let's have a quick word of prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time today you've given to us. We praise you, worship you. Lord, you are our living hope. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify your glorious name, Lord. In this time, Lord, help us. Help me, Lord, to, Lord, speak thy word. I am unworthy in your presence, Lord. Thou may enable me, give me the Holy Spirit help to utter your word, Lord. And we commit everything into the hands and ask this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this is the theme I would like to speak today. We want to know the time, in what times we are living in, right? And at the same time, we want to utilize this time to be prepared to meet our Lord, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think this would be helpful to you. I put in the PowerPoint slide. So going to the next slide. So I made three separate topics. So preparation is the same, but to break it into separate topics. So I put in step one as a preparation one for salvation. And then we need to identify our spiritual boundaries. And also in the second part, we are seeing about the holiness and keeping higher thoughts for ourselves and to be a blessing to others. The last one, we need to redeem the time and prepare to meet the Lord for the marriage of the Lamb. Now, the first one is the salvation. So, God's word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Our God is a loving God. He don't want anyone to get perished. He wants to save us. So, God was angry, or his wrath was upon the people because of the sin. Man cannot do anything to save himself from this sin. So because of sin, God cannot accept the man. So God has to do all the things for us. And he paved the way for salvation. So now the Lord says, today is the day of salvation. Now it is the accepted time. God has done all things for us and brought salvation to the mankind. He has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So through Jesus Christ, God was in Jesus Christ. And through him, through Jesus Christ, he reconciled man to himself. How? God has done all things. Through Jesus Christ, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this world and laid the punishment of sin on his body. And through his blood, we receive the forgiveness of sins and the salvation. This sin is very dangerous. We see the gravity of sin in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, the lemon, it is sour. We cannot change the taste of it. It is sour. And rat skin, how many times we wash, we cannot change the color. Same way the spots of leopard, it cannot change itself. The neem tree is bitter. We cannot make it. It cannot change to sweet. Why? Why? Because it is its nature. By nature, man is also sinful. David said, I was sinner from my birth when my mother conceived me. So it is by nature we get this, the sinful thoughts and evil activities. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot get delivered from the sin. That's why we are helpless. And the wages of sin is death. And nobody can save us from this sin. So that's why God has to come down himself. And he has to do all the work for us. Excuse me. So because of himself, God turned away his anger on us. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comforted me. Before, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. So our Lord has become our salvation today. Through his Son, Lord Jesus Christ. So today we can say, our God is our salvation. Behold, my God is my salvation. And he made the salvation so simple. The salvation of man could not be achieved without the atonement of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And after that, he made it easy to receive the forgiveness of sins. Just praying in his name, the little prayer, Lord save me, will lead us to salvation. So he made the salvation so simple. Why we are discussing this? Because salvation does not last longer. There is a time limit. In Acts 17, 26 and 27 we see the determined times before it was appointed. The door of salvation is going to be closed soon. So there is a determined time for the salvation and the grace of God on this earth. Hence, seek the Lord and call upon him. while he may be found and while he is near. Today is the day of salvation. Know the time, what time we are living in. Today is the day of salvation. And today is the appointed day, appointed time, because we cannot guarantee tomorrow. There is no guarantee. For man knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. We don't know when the evil net fall upon us suddenly and we get trapped and there we can't find any deliverance from this sin, from this world. So this is the last chance. It's a warning or a signal of alert to receive the salvation. How can we neglect this so great salvation, and how can we escape? And we are going to the next topic, the spiritual boundaries. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of deliverance. The second coming of Lord Jesus Christ is approaching very, very fast. So these are the signs of end days. You see, we hear a lot of news nowadays about World War III, this pandemic, that thing, that. So the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. That's why here the God's word exhorts the assembling of ourselves together in as the day is approaching. What are those things we see here? We remember Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. These are the four important pillars for a believer. We have a territory. These are spiritual boundaries. Doctrine is a God's word. Fellowship, assembling together. Breaking the bread and praying. When we buy any land or property, we have the boundary, and we ensure that boundaries are intact. If we miss one pillar or one cornerstone, there is a chance that the other side person can occupy. So first we have to see that our boundaries are fixed. So the spiritual boundaries are the God's word, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. These are important in our spiritual life. And in these end days, we have to fix these boundaries. Let us see about the God's word. In Proverbs 29 and 18, you see, where there is no vision, the people perish. So there should be a vision to receive, to have the eternal life. We can say vision, or vision is, or visions are, the direct communication from God, can be considered as divine revelations. And we know that God's word is light unto our path. And God's word sets our spiritual way in right direction. Back in our country, we see all villages. Nighttime, they are very dark. When we walk, there could be some snake or something can come on the road. So if we carry a lamp, we can see. And we avoid to step on it. We can escape from the danger. God's word is like that. It gives us light in shorter distance. We can plan for short term. At the same time, when we are driving on highway, we want to see far things. We put high beam light. We can see for some more distance. God's word is like that. We can see things which are in future. We can. Through God's word. It directs us. It guides us. So we can plan for future through God's word. So this is a lamp unto our path, lamp unto our feet, and light unto our path. And Lord Jesus Christ, he said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word never passes away, he said. That means God's word has no expiry date. God's word never fails. You can see God's word endures forever. It is a true and is a living word. It lives forever. So in Matthew 7:24-25, Jesus Christ says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So faith comes from hearing God's word. Faith and obedience. So they are together. You cannot see it as separate entities. So when there is a weak faith, that means we can see there is a disobedience to God's word. Faith comes from hearing God's word, which is the word of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 119:89-91, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. How God created this universe, heaven and earth, through his word. Through his word he's created all this. God's word is there in universe. He created. And all these planets, they abide to the God's word. They are stable. They are unmoved. They obey the God's word. The creation obeys the God's word. In Psalm 103 and 20, we see angels obey the God's word. The creation obeys. Earth and planets, the universe obeys God's word. Angels also obey God's word. So where is the problem? If there is a disobedience, there is a weak faith. The faith shaken. So the problem is with man. And he shows because of his disobedience, faith is shaken. He's not stable and is moved. We can see the example of Lord Jesus Christ, how his faith was. When there was a storm, Jesus Christ was not afraid. He was tired and he was taking rest. Why the disciples were afraid? Because they are weak in faith. But Lord Jesus Christ, he was believing, he has faith on his Father. So he was resting. You can see he's the example for us. The author and finisher of faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is showing obedience and having strong faith is an amazing experience in believers' life. We see this is the experience of Mount Zion. In Psalm 125 and 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The mountain is so huge and strong, it cannot be moved. So this is the experience of having the faith, strong faith. And this experience brings us to the Mount Zion, which is unmovable, unshakable faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, we see, "But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels." See, this is the experience of strong faith. We come to that place where we are not shaken in faith. Sometimes there could be a test for us in testing the faith, how strong we are. We are not shaken when we are at the Mount Zion. Let it be a storm, a tsunami, an earthquake, or a war. We know the time. We know the times, what times we are living in. We are not shaken because we are at the mountain, on the mountain of Zion. We just elaborate on more on faith for a few minutes. Faith is like a toothbrush. It is, you can understand that. You cannot share it. You cannot share your the faith of your father or mother or grandfather. Your faith alone will save you. So you should have your own faith on Jesus Christ. And how this faith, in where your faith is. When you see a soccer ball, when it is full of air, it goes fast when we hit it. It jumps up and down, and we can play. But a small needle can make it with leak. It can, gas can go out. And when we hit, it will not move. So football is, if the air is full of air, is like having strong faith. And without air is a weak faith. Where is the faith? Are we trusting silver, gold, a property? Where is our faith? Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion and are not shaken. Why man is now shaken? Why his faith is shaken? Because his trust is not on the Lord. He's not reached to the Mount Zion experience. He doesn't have that experience. Next, we are going to the other topic of the fellowship in the four spiritual boundaries. One is the doctrine or the word of God. The second one is the fellowship. So in Ecclesiastes, we see chapter 4, 9 to 12, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. So assembling together, coming together, it helps us. It gives us spiritual warmth. So one falls, the other lifts us up. One is weak, one other one supports us. That fellowship is very important. And if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is very, very important. And the third point is the breaking of bread. Lord says that this is my body broken for you. That means when we are taking part in the bread, we are saying we are also broken in our body. And as the Lord's body was crushed, broken, when we take part in the body or in the bread, we are saying that this is also my experience. I am also crushed and broken in my body. I am dead to sin. And his life in me. This is my experience. And the prayer is to have a desire for the will of the Lord and coming to his presence to ask for his fulfillment. Power is released when we kneel and pray, agree and pray together. Kneel before God so you can stand before the enemy. Yeah, we can come across all the difficult situations when we pray together. The next one is walk in highways. Walk in the highway. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 8 says, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the way for faring men, though fools shall not err therein. You can see the highway is path of holiness. Those who are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who believe in Lord Jesus Christ, they receive the holiness, the righteousness of God. So they walk in this highway. And this is the path of holiness. Even fools can also walk. How they receive the counsel, wisdom from God. And they can walk without stumbling. And they are made righteous when they believe in Jesus Christ. We can see Jesus was, again, a role model for us in holiness. Jesus was holy. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, excuse me, for such high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Jesus was separated from sinners and was not defiled while he was on this earth. To become holy, we don't have to go out of this world. We see some saints, some monks, they want to be holy and they go mountaintops, hill stations, they live outside of this world. Lord was not saying to be like that. Jesus Christ was among sinners. He hated sin. He loved righteousness. But he was separated from sinners. He was not defiled at any point of time. You can see the example of the electrical wire. We see copper wire inside the electrical insulation wire. Electricity passes through the wire, but it doesn't impact the outer, the cover of the wire. When we touch, we are not electrocuted, right? We are in this world, but we are separated from this sinners. We are set apart. We want to save the souls, the lost souls. If we go outside the world, there is no benefit. When we see the holiness, the graph of holiness, it should be always increasing, till we reach that point, the day of the salvation or the approaching the day when Lord Jesus Christ returns back. Comes back. Holiness. Because Lord, he says, I am holy. You also be holy. Sometimes when there is a special conference, holiness increases too much. It goes high. Then suddenly it drops. Down. And during weekdays, it may go below minus. Zero, minus. And Sunday, again, it comes up. So it should be either stable or increasing day by day. And that should be our experience. The next one is always keep thoughts high. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, Lord says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Lord has higher thoughts for us, greater plans for us. As a father, I tell my children, study this thing, you'll become good. You'll become great. But they say, their choice is like, they don't want to work hard, they want to go less. We have, as a father, we have bigger plans for children. But children, they don't have that much capability to think about bigger things. Our Lord has also great plans for us. And we as believers, we think what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, where to go. When Lord is saying, I have bigger plans for you. Those plans, nobody has seen it, never seen, never heard. And that inheritance is never perishable, never spoil, never fade. This inheritance is kept for us in heaven. This is very precious. I'll just give you a small story about a rich man. He had a dream. He went to heaven in his dream, and he was standing before the gate of heaven. He wanted to go inside heaven. Then one angel came and asked him, what do you want? He says, I want to go inside heaven. No, your name is not in this book. Sorry, you are denied. No. I am a rich man. I have a lot of money. I am very popular. Allow me inside. No, I'm sorry. You cannot enter heaven. Then he started pleading, angel, please, please, allow me to go inside. At least allow me to be as a doorkeeper of heaven. Then angel said, sorry, we don't have those positions. They are already done by angels. We are doing that job. We have only kings and priests' positions open. So your name is not there, so I cannot allow you inside. See, Lord has given us that privilege as a children of God, as a holy nation. He made us kings and priests in Jesus Christ. In these end days, we have to make use of our time more profitably. Redeem the time, because time is precious. Time is very precious. We can restore whatever other things we are lost. But time and tide, we hear that, waits for none. Time is very important. We cannot restore it back. So time is precious, and we want to convert this time into treasure. Our treasure. It's like our investment in heaven. When we spend more time for the Lord, we're investing in our future in heaven. So make use of time, talent, and treasure, because this will be added to your, like, bank account, treasure. And we receive a reward from our Lord when we meet him. The other day in the open sharing time, we also heard about this, how to redeem the time. Like sellers, you know, how they make use of time. when there is a strike, you know, they close all the shops and they're not allowed to sell anything. But sellers in India, we see, they lift the shutter a little bit, open it, and then they start selling from back door. They want to earn more money, right? They are trying to sell more secretly. This is how they redeem the time. The worldly people, the Gentiles, are so clever that way. How much more clever we as a believer should be to make use of time. When Lord Jesus Christ, he was in Samaria, he was speaking to the Samaritan woman. He was busy in sharing the gospel there. Then we see the disciples coming to him and giving him food. Lord, eat this food. We brought it for you. He said, this is not my food. My food is to do the will of my Father and to see that work is done. Finish. You say, still we have 4 more months for harvest. Open, lift up your eyes and see. Harvest is ready. You go and bring the harvest. My food is not this. My food is in the fields. Harvest is ready. Not after 4 months. It is ready now. For that harvest, how much hard work they have done. They have to plow the fields. They have to sow the seeds, water it, protect it. This all already done for you. The generation before us already done this. Now the crop is ready. Which one is hard? Either to plow the fields, sow the seeds, water it, and wait for the crop. Is it hard, or just go and bring the harvest crop? So you are entering into their labor. You are entering into the labor. You don't have to work much hard. Already it is done. But at the same time, you will get the same wages. They also get the same wage, you also get the same wage. Salary is the same. So go and bring the crop. It is ready. Harvest is ready. The next one is being a blessing to others. Believers always like signposts. When you see on highways, there are directions given. Take right, take left, goes right. After 100 miles, you reach the destination. So as believers, we are also like a signpost. We have to guide the people, others. Direct them in the right path. So they reach their destination in time and safely. Be a blessing to others. Some signboards are broken. Some signboards are fallen. So that get make a stride. And all signboards are not same, does not serve the same purpose. They are different. Each one has their own purpose. How Jacob was blessing to Laban when he was with him. He became prosperous. He became prosperous because of Jacob. See how much he brought blessing to his father-in-law. I say like Laban. Now our spiritual race is like a marathon race. It is not a short distance race. So as we are approaching, we can see in Romans 13:11 and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The salvation day is approaching very fast. As it is approaching fast, we have to also run the race very fast. Know the time. This is the time. Know the time and to get prepared to meet the Lord. It's not time to sleep. Our salvation is nearer than what we think. Usually in short race, they run fast and finish the race fast. Finish. 50 seconds, 100 seconds. But in a marathon race, they start slowly because it's a long race. You have to run maybe 5K, 10K, 25K, something like that. So start slowly, and then when they reach to the destination, reaching to the destination, they run very fast. They get more energy accumulated and then try to run fast before the finish line. But sometimes what happens, we don't know the time, what time we are living. And we don't know if it's a marathon race or short race. Sometimes we run very fast in the beginning. Faster, and suddenly collapse. We'll not reach the destination. We'll lose the energy. Somebody else take horses. So we want to know the time, what time we are living in, and how we are running this race. We have to reach the destination. And we have to also focus on the prize we are receiving. Run to receive the prize. Prepare to meet the Lord. In Revelation 19 and 6 and 7, we see, we hear a voice of great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reign. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. See, there's a trumpet sound coming now. Trumpet sound. The Lord is coming. The marriage of the Lamb is coming soon. So get ready. Get ready. Be prepared. Be prepared. The bridegroom is coming. Bride. Lord Jesus is coming back again, the second time, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he is going to rapture the church. He's coming for his church. Church is the bride. He soon is coming. Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon to take his church with him. Rapture is going to happen. But bride should be ready. Okay? Bride should be ready. Bridegroom is coming. We don't know the time. When he's coming, he's not. He said, I'm coming like a thief. Thief, he cannot give a notice period, right? I'm coming so and so date, so and so time. See that you are not at home, or you are at home, I'll come and steal. He will not give prior notice. Dave, we have to be ready. We should be awake. Bride should be ready. Here in India, if you see bridegroom already sits on the stage where chairs are there, is ready, waiting for a bride to come. Bridegroom already came, but bride is late. They're waiting for a bride to come for marriage. Usually it happens like that. Because 10 to 15 people there in the bride room, decorating, giving makeup, setting everything, takes time. But in spiritual life, nobody makes us ready. Bride herself should get ready. Nobody helps us. And we don't know the time when bridegroom is coming. So that is very important. Now we hear three trumpets. One is about the salvation. First one, the trumpet in the wilderness. And now it's what is happening is trumpet in the church. And the third one is going to happen is trumpet, the marriage of the Lamb is coming. If we neglect the first two, we are lost. And we have to face the consequences. You know, the 7-year period tribulation is going to come. 7-year period tribulation. There is no grace that time. You have to face the consequences. They are very serious. So be ready now. The trumpet in the wilderness is about the salvation. We have to get ready for that. Already we received the salvation, sorry. So, and the trumpet in the church is now what God is speaking to us. If we hear that, then we can hear the third trumpet sound. You know, the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles and 12:32, they say, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel as ought to do. They know the times. The sons of Issachar, they understand the time, what time they are living in. And they plan for the future and tell Israel what to do. They are a separate tribe. They are the sons of Jacob. Issachar was a son of Jacob, born to Leah. So they are ready. They know and understand. So we have to be like that as a believers. Be prepared to meet our Lord. Be prepared to meet our Lord. One young school boy used to go to school and come back home. One time his father said, I am going on to far trip to other country. Okay, so wait for me until I come back. Then the son asked, what is the sign? How I can know when you're going to come? So then he took him to backyard and showed a tree in their backyard. See, now this tree has green leaves, okay? Now when this turn to yellow, you see, I'll come that time. So the boy remembers that, and then father also left to the other country. Every time the boy, he comes back from school, he goes to backyard and see the color of the leaves. Now is not the time for my father to come back. He's disappointed, goes back. He waits for him to come back, return. Every time he goes backyard and see. So one fine day he sees the color of the leaves changes to yellow. Then you can see what happiness he has. Oh, my father is coming back today. So he didn't go back home after coming to school. He threw the bag and he was running around the tree with happiness. See, you see the sign and see the time and the season. Oh, our father is going to come back to receive us. What a happiness occasion. We are not afraid of the situation, circumstances, and the times, because our time of deliverance is reaching very fast. The creation is groaning to get delivered from this pain, the travel pain. So that from that pain we're going to be delivered soon. That is our joy and happiness. Our Father is going to come. Let us pray and be prepared for that. Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, I praise you. Thank you for this time you're going to us. We praise you. Lord, help us to be, Lord, prepared for to meet in the second coming. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.